to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. I am Team Radio Sight Bishu, and indeed, plenty is happening now in this divine hamlet. Today is a lovely Thursday. The Thursday before the mega Thursday we are all waiting for. It is so beautiful that Bhagwan's birthday this year falls on the day devotees in most of the Sai centers gathered to sing his glory. In fact, when Bhagwan declared for the first time, "I am Sai Baba," his father asked him, "So what are we supposed to do with you?" And Swami then, as young Satya had said, "Worship me on Thursdays. Keep your houses and hearts clean. I have come for your sake. I have come because of the prayers of the pious. I have come for my devotees." Every birthday of Bhagwan has been a landmark event, because Swami always used this opportunity to do something extra special, something more for the devotees. The super speciality hospital announcement happened on a birthday. The inauguration happened on the subsequent birthday. The Sarvadharma Stupa that stands gracefully next to Bhagwan's residence, the Yajur Mandir, was inaugurated on Bhagwan's birthday, on his 50th birthday, 1975, the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning came into existence on his birthday in 1981. And the beautiful and ornate administrative block of the university came the subsequent year in 1982. Swami, in this birthday, 92nd birthday, will breathe life into another elegant and lovely structure, which is perhaps more significant than anything that has been built so far in the sacred geography of Prashantinilam, because this is where Bhagwan's legacy is going to be stored, the Sri Satya Sai Archives. This building will be opened on November 22nd, on the eve of his 92nd birthday, by the current Vice President of India, Mr. Venkaiah Naidu. With this, that beautiful hill will have two amazing edifices there. One where the Vice Chancellor sits, the university block. The other where the different cultures of the world sit, the Sanatana Samskriti Museum. And finally the third, the new edition. And this is where the precious legacy of the Chancellor of the Universe will sit. This archives will be operated by the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. This is going to house all the precious audios, videos, images and manuscripts associated with Bhagwan, and it is going to be stored in the most scientific manner so that the content in them is preserved for generations and generations to come. All the content is also being digitized so that they can be used and shared with devotees world over. Another beautiful thing that is happening right now, even as I am speaking to you, it's 11:37 to be precise. What is happening now is the inauguration of the newly done North Block, in line with how Swami always wanted to offer something better to the devotees, better facilities, better amenities to devotees. This block now has a lift, it has air-conditioned rooms, it has completely furnished drawing rooms, newly done washrooms and so on. So 92 such rooms in N4 are being inaugurated right now. And I'm sure Swami would be so happy to see the devotees happy, to see the devotees smile. And now comes the highlight of this year's birthday celebrations, the International Veda Conference. This two-day conference is, in a manner of sorts, a grand celebration of a mission that Bhagwan started way back in the 60s, when he declared, "My mission is Veda Poshana, Vidvat Poshana and Bhakta Samrakshana, restoration of the Vedas, fostering of Vedic scholars and protection and welfare of devotees." So more than 7,000 devotees from India, and similarly a big number of devotees from various countries, will now gather in Prashantinilam to chant the Rudram in these 2 days. And of course, the heartening news is the Prime Minister of the country, Mr. Narendra Modi, will be addressing all the devotees live from New Delhi on the second day of the conference. There are also many religious leaders from other faiths coming to participate in this conference. There are people from scientific establishments arriving to share the connection between Vedic knowledge and modern science. So this is going to be an unprecedented event in the history of Prashanthi Nilayam. And the last week on Thursday Live on Outside Inside Deep Inside, just to prepare us for this event and know more about the history of the Vedic movement in Prashanthi Nilayam, I played for you the first part of a conversation with four alumni of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning who are part of the Prashanthi Vedam group. Mr. Vedanarayan, Dr. Shivsankar Sai, Mr. G.R. Praveena and Brother Ganesh. So we heard how Bhagwan initiated boys into chanting Vedam and how he subtly inspired and motivated them to take to this Vedic learning. There is much more to it, so we'll continue with this discussion in today's Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai on Outside, Inside, Deep Inside.
Embodiments of love.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్ నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్ ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today, as I just mentioned, we are going to listen to the next part of Sai Prema Vedodharana. Here we go with the second part of this panel discussion.
Vedant sir, then there came a time when once Swami had the Dasara Yagnams going on, the students had the chance to be part of the Yagnam and really sit on the stage. So, when did that happen? When did Bhagwan give that privilege to the boys to actually sit on the stage and be part of the Dasara Yagnam?
I think it was from 60th birthday onwards.
Okay, that was one landmark event, isn't it?
Yes, I think birthday. 1985.
Five, yes.
From then onwards, when Swami gave us actually officially that red dhoti, which we all aspired for, along with the pundits. So we have been, that is one thing we were praying for. One thing is that we want a chance to go on to the stage. And when we will have, of course, initially though Swami had allowed us, after so many years, Swami had allowed us to sit on the stage on the final day. When the Purnahuti used to go on, only on the final day.
He used to allow the boys.
Allow the boys. We used to wear white dhoti and white angavastram. But we used to have that desire in us, how wonderful it used to be. If Bhagavan can give us also the red dhoti like the pandits, and we can also, if we can, it is something privilege, which we had a dream of that. And Swami fulfilled that dream in 1985 during the 60th birthday time. Swami said, I am going to give red dhotis like pandits for all of you, even the angavastram also. And I remember how much interest Swami took. Swami said, all those boys, those who know Rudram and Chamakam, make a list of them and give me that list. And Swami was continuously inquiring and with lot of interest. And Swami distributed that red dhoti. And we were waiting to wear that. I still remember what it, I mean, that is more than anything, a dream.
So that was only the beginning, sir. Yeah. But then onward, Swami kept on giving on almost every year to the Vedam students.
I think that was one
moment to cherish.
What are your memories, Ganesh? When did you get involved with the Vedic learning?
Actually, I did not even know the Gayatri Mantra before joining the college. But once we got initiated into the hostel system, Vedam was like a very charming thing for me. Okay. I got attracted towards Vedam that... Even the time during when the lines used to go from hostel to mandir, we used to go in a very disciplined manner. So I always used to recollect the mantras which you used to learn after Suprabhatam time. That short gap, that 10-15 minute slot after the Suprabhatam.
Chanting, the different groups used to chant.
And continuously I used to recollect all the mantras which we used to learn. And that was one big craze for me, to learn Vedam.
Wow.
And incidentally, for the first sports meet, which I was a part of, I got first prize in individual chanting, first prize in pair chanting.
Okay.
So I had an opportunity to take a watch from Swami's hands.
As prize.
Yes, as a prize.
Maybe I'll just butt in and then mention one thing which happened around the same time or maybe earlier to this one. Prior to that year, Swami used to come and then distribute the prizes, sports meet prizes, to all the students.
Yes.
First it was in the institute, then after that school boys also joined. Swami used to distribute the prizes individually.
Individually, yes.
All the prizes which the boys have won.
So actually it didn't matter whether you won five prizes or one prize.
No problem.
You have to get it from Swami.
And then directly from Swami, a photograph and a Pada Namaskar on the stage. That was the great attraction. And then I was then the warden. After the prize distribution was over, he came inside and he was about to go out. And he asked, how many boys got the prizes? I said, Swami, the institute we had, that time it was only in the institute boys were getting prizes. Swami, around 180 boys. What is the total strength of the institute? Swami, around 410 or something. What happened to the other boys? Why? Are they not capable of getting prizes?
Oh my God.
And unless you people encourage, how will the boys learn? The talents and all these things have to be encouraged. I want every student to get a prize.
Oh my God.
Now that is his vision. And then immediately after that, so we started, we had a brainstorming session, how to increase the prizes, number of events. Number of events so that the students, the innate talent can come out.
So that everybody...
Everybody get an opportunity to... earn a prize, so that he can go to Swami. And then, I remember that time, we said that we never had actually even Vedam competitions. Vedam competition was introduced. Then, after the next year, I said, okay, Vedam competition is introduced, very nice. But then, can we expand? Then, Vedam explanation competition. Then, Stotram competition. Stotram, because we were learning Stotrams every festival. Guru Purnima, Krishna Ashtami, Vinayak Jyoti, and all of them.
Yes.
Christmas.
Yes.
So, introduce Stotram competition separately. Then we had just then started Ganam. So can we increase Ganam competition? 1 year, only 1 year it survived.
Sir, but so, also Vedam paired competition.
Paired competition.
Group competition.
Group competition. And then we could not compare the boys who have been learning for 5 years with the boy who has just joined. So we had to do three different levels. Level one, beginners, middle level, and then higher level. All these competitions for each of these levels. So, just to increase the number of things so that the students get motivated and Swami would be happy to see the children progressing.
Wow. And Ganesh is a direct beneficiary.
Yeah, beneficiary of that.
Even I remember I got one prize. The only prize I got was a Vedam explanation.
Wow. And then, in fact, one student, I remember, asked me, he said, sir, how can you put Vedam competition? Vedam is not meant for competition. I remember, very nicely, logically he analyzed it. Sir, can you bring down the level of Vedam for competition?
Oh my
is
God.
It not wrong?
Oh God.
And it was a beautiful, very intellectual question. I said, yes, I understand. It is not for competition, for cooperation, but to ensure, Swami says, when the child is not eating, you have to get so many things. You know, you see this and then shoves that morsel into the child's mouth. Just like Swami is doing. Yes. We are trying to find out ways and avenues to see that the students learn. At least for the competition's sake, the student will perfect in learning Vedam. At least for the competition's sake, he will understand the meaning of the Vedam.
Yes.
So that by itself is good enough explanation for me to put a competition.
In fact, Prayana sir, maybe you can add, how has this competitions done in terms of increasing the interest of the boys for learning Vedam? What kind of an impact has it had?
Actually, in our higher secondary school, almost every year we see the large number of students participating in the competition. We have actually the individual competition, then even the group competition, chanting competition, then Vedam explanation competition. And we can see large number of people coming forward to take part in the competition. I can still remember the last year the number of students participating in the competition was more than 170.
Oh.
Yes. So more than half of the total strength of the school has
participated.
This is almost around the same number almost every year. So that itself shows really students are interested in learning the Vedic mantras and also fulfilling what Swami actually wanted them to do.
Wow, that's amazing. So Ganesh, let's go back to your story. So you got a prize.
Yeah, in Veda. That was the beginning actually. More than anything else, that the vibration of Vedas always was enchanting for me. I had that love and passion. The sound and the vibration attracted me a lot. So I never stopped learning Vedam. Even till last Thursday, I was requesting Pravida sir to teach some new mantra so that we are like at least one step ahead every day. So that is the kind of passion that Swami had filled us with. And our teachers were also like that. Our Shivshankar Sai sir, Warden sir, Rangarajan sir, who were all who always motivated the students to learn Vedam. And our senior students who had, like, continuously they were putting in efforts to teach some or the other new mantra. So that has helped us to come to this level. Whatever little we are able to chant, it's because of all the gurus and...
Yes,
that Jagat Guru.
Swami, of course, is the...
Yes.
You are all the instruments in...
Yes. But you know, you also had the chance to participate in so many Dasara celebrations and, you know, being blessed to get the red dhoti also from Bhagwan. So what are your most cherishable moments when it comes to Dasara celebration?
The first most cherished moment was a very, very humorous moment. It was, I think, in 2001. That was the first time when we received dhoti from Swami's own hands. Swami asked all the boys who knew Rudram first paragraph to come and sit in the portico where all the doctors used to sit. So we were all assembled there. So Swami got one big big silver plate full of dhotis and angavastrams. And Swami, he wanted to test first and then only distribute the So before the distribution, he asked all the boys, now chant. So after a few minutes of chanting, Swami stopped the boys. One by one, he picked up and he asked them to chant the Vedas. I still remember one of our senior brothers, Bhaskaran brother, Parashuram brother, all these brothers were asked individually to chant. So then Swami was happy. And then while distributing the dhotis, he came to some of us. While throwing the dhotis to one of the boys, he told, tie the dhoti properly, otherwise the secret will be out. To exactly put it in Telugu, sarigga kattukopothe guttu rattayipothundi. So that was one very humorous moment. But from then onwards, like almost every Dasara Swami used to give us dhotis, and that was the most prized thing for us. And one of the Dasaras, they were selecting students to sit on the stage. So there were certain number of mantras which a student is supposed to know, like all the Vallis, the Taittiriya Upanishad boys had to know, and Rudram and Chamakam. So that year, actually, I did not know the three Vallis. I did not know. So it's like a challenge for me. So I sat in the students' block. I was just listening to what the students were chanting. You won't believe, in that one Dasara 7 days, I finished learning the Taittiriya Upanishad completely. So till now,
Shikshavalli,
Brahmanandavalli, and Murugavalli. And till now, I have not forgotten those three mantras actually.
Wow!
So that was the kind of
that's a live example, isn't it, Vedant sir, of how when you know you have the interest, the grace just comes.
Absolutely.
I think for all the boys also who so easily take to Vedam and so easily, if you see. Students of any other school or, you know, any other city, for example, I don't know if you know, their dexterity will be as much as our boys have in terms of learning all the Sanskrit vowels and getting it so effortlessly. I mean, that's an invisible grace of Bhagwan working all the time, isn't it?
In fact, Prishti, see, our motivation is to please God. That is something. Please Bhagwan, we wanted to do anything. And Bhagavan always said, Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam. When there is interest is there, naturally you will also will be blessed with the knowledge. See, for the outside students, of course, the competition will be there. But our only aim is to please God. That is where I think the children of Swami got a double benefit. In fact, extra benefit. They could go extra mileage because... of anybody wants to do anything, they want to do it for Swami. They want to do it in front of Swami. They always crave to have a glance, an appreciation, a touch, anything what they can get that motivates them.
Yes.
To the highest of thing.
Mm.
If you take the sports meet, I was told that some of the children learn motorbike in 1 week.
Yes.
Not to ride, to show stunts. Stunts,
yeah. They didn't know how to ride motorbike.
Because their only aim is to please Swami. They wanted to show it in front of Swami.
Yes. That's a huge lesson, I think. And that is probably the reason why now you have students and devotees all over also learning, and they're learning it so easily. Perhaps because they have the same motivation that we want to do it for Swami, we want to do it for Swami. I think whenever that passion to do it for Swami is that intense, then grace automatically flows.
Absolutely.
That's true, Prasthi. One more thing we must remember, the schools and colleges outside, there is not much of exposure for this kind of Vedic learning. And we can see the results, academic excellence there also. But just see in our institutions, although our students are involved in varieties of activities throughout the year, throughout the academic year, it could be even apart from their studies, they are all the time involved in music activities, yoga activities, sports activities, dance, and so many other activities. But yet, when it comes to this question of results that they get in the examination, it's really outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
The time which they give for academics is actually not so much.
Yes.
But yet they are able to give a very good performance in the examinations. I have full belief that it is the Vedam and also Vedic chanting enables them to do better and also have a better memory power, better grasping power, which help them to get better academic results.
Wow. Perhaps we will never ever know the different dimensions with which any of Bhagwan's instructions play out. It will take hundreds of years for us to really understand the ramifications of what Bhagwan asks us to do. And the greatest benefit we have is whatever he says, you don't even have to think, just do it. Because only time will tell how it has tremendously changed us and changed the environment around us. And if you see the Vedic movement in Prashanthi Nilayam, though it was... The Veda Pathshala was the initial stage. And then it went on to a different gear when all the students joined the Vedic movement, sort of. So the university became the Veda Pathshala in a manner of sorts. Even as they learned physics and chemistry, they also learned about metaphysics and things beyond the chemistry. So there was this phase which was perhaps a plateau where the boys who were interested in Vedam, you know, learned Vedam, and the opportunity of chanting in front of Bhagwan, standing next to Bhagwan during festivals was that, that's what probably continued for so many decades. And then suddenly the whole dynamics of it changed in 2003, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that is when the movement went into a completely new gear, into a completely new dimension, where I remember one of those days in 2003, one day Bhagwan came out of his residence in Punachandra Auditorium, and he said to the boys who were serving him, he said, there is no Vedam. And they were very surprised, because the practice was that when Bhagwan comes out, there
music.
Would be
music.
Darshan music.
Darshan music. Darshan music.
And later on, bhajans. So they were very puzzled, so they just kept quiet. And Swami let it be, and the second day again Bhagwan came out for darshan. And Swami said, there is no Vedam. The boys thought, you know, maybe Swami is thinking, now in our own foolish minds, we think 100 things. He thought, is Swami thinking that it is a festival day or something? Because only on festival days you had Vedam before Swami's discourse. So they had no answer. So they just let it be. And on the third day, Bhagwan comes out for darshan. And that day he says, there is no Vedam, I will not go for darshan. Then that's when they get panicky. He says he will not even come for darshan if there is no Vedam. And that's how, you know, Vedam starts. They say, whoever, wherever, please come and start the Vedam. And only when Bhagwan hears the Vedam on the PA system, that's when he starts the darshan. And that's how he made it sort of mandatory. I mean, the darshan became Vedam. Vedam became darshan, actually. He has come for Vedodharana, Vidvat Poshana, Bhakta Samrakshana, and all that has to happen only through the medium of Vedam. People have to see him even as the resonance of the Vedic mantras fill their beings. I think perhaps that is how they can absorb more of his darshan. Perhaps that is how we can make most of the beautiful gift that he gave every day painstakingly for 86 years. perhaps in the earlier times, people were able to quieten their minds. But maybe now you need Vedam to purify the atmosphere so that the Lord can come and, you know, be with us and walk amongst us. And so Vedanta, how was that moment, you know, when suddenly out of nowhere, where Vedam was just one of the things that happened during festivals, became an everyday festival?
In fact, I still remember Brother Shivasanga Sai was the warden then. And he came and told me, Sri Vedanarayan Swami wants Vedam chanting. Mm-hmm. And because for everything they used to come to me for Vedam, I said, if Swami wants Vedam, you should ask your students to chant. Because Swami was taking me through a very rough time.
Mm-hmm.
I was really in crucible with Swami. It was a testing time for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that I have to play very, very carefully whatever I am doing.
Okay.
And I have really burned my fingers. I don't want to further burn myself on. So I told you have your students, please go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was insistent that, no, Vedana, you have to be there. I said, I am not going to be there. This argument went on and ultimately he won over and he said, no. I still remember.
You were apprehensive because at that point in time, somebody
how
was not
Swami
talking to you
will, because one thing is that, see, when everything is quiet, no, this is something we could even comprehend. It is not in our mind, no. Suddenly when Swami is coming, everybody start chanting, Om, how funny it looks.
Mm.
Exactly, these are the exact thing it was going on in my mind. If it is a festival time, it is a different thing.
Mm.
But suddenly everybody start chanting, Om.
Mm.
And first of all, my stars were not very lenient to me.
In those
then,
days.
How it is going to, because definitely if I had to chant, I'll be near the mic.
Mm.
And what will be the repercussions?
Mm.
That is what I was afraid of.
Mm.
So, but he was insistent that first day when he told, he also left me. I mean, no, there was no chanting, but he insisted that I had to be there. For. So I was praying to Swami that, Swami, please don't scold me. I was praying, but how it is, with a great apprehension, we started that day, first day, that is 18th of September 2003. And of course, Swami came for darshan. Though we were a group chanting so loudly, as if nothing was happened, Swami just moved his hands and went inside, straight inside the interview room. And as if nothing was happening around, Swami was... Anyway, that was a relief for me. At least Swami did not scold me. So to that extent. But he had specifically told that, see, it is only evening time when the boys come for darshan. So evening time, for first day it started like that. Second day also Swami...
I was afraid because... First thing is, the students are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And then second thing, some of them have compulsory games. The same fellow won't come. And then the person who knows nicely, because the mic will be kept in front.
Mm.
And then unless the boy is absolutely confident,
You
know, it could be a messy affair.
Yes.
So I didn't want to take a risk. We have to have some seniors who are proficient and who will take the group along with,
and
with them.
Those days... It was not a continuous chanting. It was swasti-wise chanting.
Swasti-wise chanting. Mm-hmm. I remember.
That is, one group will chant one line. The second group will chant the other line.
Mm.
And we used to chant in very high pitch. That high initially, pitch. Initially first two couple of days, Swami just avoided.
Mm-hmm.
And after, I think, few days, Swami started coming and sitting outside when the Vedam was going on, till bhajan time.
Mm.
Once the bhajan starts, Swami used to go and sit. So that is how it started.
So he used to sit for Vedam.
Yes, that was the beginning.
Mm.
Then what had happened, still Swami had not broken the ice with me. So it continued for some time. Then I still remember it was in December. December what had happened, Swami had already, we started in September, October, November. In the month of December, Swami casually came for darshan. And one day I was sitting quietly because I knew that Swami is still upset for whatever divine reasons it can be. See, that is one thing, though whether irrespective of anything, if I am in Prashanthi Nilayam, I have to attend Vedam. That's all. That is my life breath.
Hmm.
So that day early morning, I could not go for the regular Nagara Sankirtanam Vedam because my throat had infected. It was paining so badly. So I thought, Even if I go, I can't chant anything. So first time I gave a break to that. And the Lord came for darshan. And suddenly he comes to me as if nothing has happened. He has not talked to me for years. Mm. Suddenly he looked at me and says, I didn't hear your voice this morning.
Oh my God.
First thing was I was shocked because I thought that I was a non-existent being for Swami. And my chanting. Then I said, Swami, my throat is infected. So I am not able to chant. That's why I couldn't come in there. Ah, Sherry, he said then. But it took nearly hours for me to realize that Swami has talked to me after years. It was like a shock because, no, Swami made it so simplified as if he was talking every day. He just talked to me and went off. And still, it took some time to digest what it was.
He almost told you that, you know, all these whatever number of years he had not spoken to you, but through that one line, he let you know that he was listening to you every day.
Every day. Yes.
Every day he was listening to you.
Giving attention.
In fact, my brother used to always say, hey, why are you worried if Swami is not looking at you? Because looking at somebody is natural for anybody. Mm. If he has to avoid you all the time, he'll be thinking of you where you are sitting.
Where you are sitting, yeah.
So it is more of attention.
Yes.
But of course, it's a painful attention. But during that period of time, then Swami suddenly, again, then slowly he started talking every day. That is how Swami is. Mm. Then one day he came and asked me, why there is no morning Vedam, he asked. That when Swami comes for darshan in the morning.
Okay. We used to have only in the evening.
Only in the evening. So I told, warden has told Swami, only evening boys are coming. So it is enough if you chant in the evening. Oh, okay. He said, and he went off inside. Second day he came morning darshan. And again he asked, why there is no morning Vedam chanting? Oh, boys are not coming. Boys are coming only in the... Swami himself answered. And he went off inside. So this second day again happened. This was a clue for us. I think probably Swami wants us to chant in the morning also. And a couple of us, we were staying in the mandir. Or some central trust boys. Myself, Sudhindran, and a couple of boys are there. Then we thought... why not we ask Swami? Anyway, we are here, no? We will chant Vedam. It is okay, even if it is. So, next day, we all sat together. When we sat together, Swami came straight to us. And we asked Swami, can we have Vedam in the morning, Swami? He said, what to do? Boys are not coming. Boys are coming.
Swami is giving back the reason that you gave.
Yeah. Boys are coming only. No, Swami, we are there. No, we will chant. Swami said, Tarvata Chaptan. I'll tell you afterwards. So there was some hope. Then I still remember it was on December 23rd. Swami told us from tomorrow on December 24th onwards. Swami said, the morning Vedam also you chant.
Wow.
Now the question is, these are all new to us, where to sit, because we are four or five. And there was strong opposition from the elderly people that had four or five people chanting Veda, sitting in the hall. It looks so bad. You should go and sit inside somewhere in the prayer hall and chant Veda, not in front of. So we don't know what is the right thing to do. We don't know because Swami didn't clear that where we should sit. But see, where we are chanting Vedam is outside. So whatever happens, we are going to go and sit there and do it. And in fact, elders discourage us. It is such a, because Swami wants everything in huge bulk, not two or three people doing something. Swami will definitely dislike. But I still remember that Swami came that day. He came and sat on the stage for the whole Vedam session, thus making everybody silent.
He set the system right.
And to the extent that there are days when Swami is to come, though we used to have schools and other colleges, Swami is to sit not 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours in the morning.
Yes.
And there are days he has cancelled bhajan. After Vedam, he used to take Aarti and used to go off.
Wow.
He started encouraging so much to that, every day he used to say, if some boys are not chanting in the Vedam, don't sit in the front, the first line, if you cannot chant Vedam. Go and sit somewhere behind. Wow. To that extent, he started insisting that. So that gave an impetus for the others also that we should learn the Vedas. And we used to chant in very high Shrutis. Imagine morning 3 hours, evening three hours, 4 hours. And suddenly, Swami censored that. See, this chanting of Sostivais is not good. I want you to chant continuously.
Oh,
that was something which we were not ready for, because already our throats were aching and breaking, and infections all have started because of continuous chanting. This is something which we were not prepared for. But when God wills something, naturally He will give you the strength.
Yes.
So when we started slowly and steadily, we started the chanting all together. Even for hours, Swami gave us the strength. Now looking back, it is really scary for us to look back and say, how probably you could have done that. But it is only Swami's grace and grace and grace. He encouraged us so much that I remember the beautiful days when Swami used to come and sit for darshan. And already the bhajan time would have, already 9 o'clock would have been over, still Swami would have been continuing. Then Swami used to say, now stop. And we used to do namaskar. I still remember. And when we are going to the East Prashanti, to our respective schools and colleges, Swami used to watch till we used to disappear. That is the love with which He nourished us and He brought us up.
Sir, not merely that, sir. After Vedam chanting used to get over, Swami used to make us all get up and go into the prayer hall initially, in the initial days, and sit there.
We used to have a fixed place before the bhajan group.
Yes, before the bhajan group.
Oh, okay.
Swami used to be seated on the throne there only. Swami used to tell, yes, come on, all of you get up, go in line into the prayer hall, sit there in front of the bhajan group.
Wow. In front of the bhajan group.
Yes.
Wow. I think those days were very, very blessed moments, especially for the devotees. I mean, it looked like that. It was all ultimately divine design. But Swami now used to sit for long hours outside, and devotees used to bask in the darshan of Bhagwan, you know, for hours. Earlier, Bhagwan should come one round darshan and then go into the interview room. But now he was there for hours sitting, only listening to Vedam. And I think that is what also subconsciously, covertly encouraged every devotee. To see how I can also chant. You know, Swami is sitting there, all the boys are chanting. Can I also chant? Can I also do that worship? Can I also worship Rudra and Shiva? You know, he's sitting right in front of me. I think that was one thing where, you know, subtly Swami conveyed that message to entire humanity that this is how it is going to be. I am so happy. I can sit for hours and delight in listening to Veda. So all of you, please join that. And we had so many beautiful sessions, isn't it, sir, where, you know, suddenly Swami would ask primary school boys to chant. Swami would ask different boys also to chant.
Also, Swami used to ask individually, do you know the meaning of such and such word?
Yes.
So Swami insisted not merely by hearting the Vedic mantras, chanting the Vedic mantras, but you have to go little deeper to try to know the meaning of the Vedic mantras also. Yes.
In fact, I also remember there was one period where in Sai Kulanthal we had Vedam tutor sessions, isn't it, sir?
Yes.
That was for the Sahasra Chandra Darshan.
Yes.
When Swami made an open declaration that all the devotees should learn, and it is Swami's desire that they should chant Rudram on that particular day.
83rd birthday.
Yes. Mm. I think. But again, I will just diverge here.
Sure.
See, I used to wonder, of course, the Vedam used to be learned by the school boys, college boys, everything. But Bhagavan, He has clearly declared that my mission is Veda Poshana and Vidvat Poshana, Dharma Sthapana and Bhakta Rakshana. So I used to wonder, Swami, how the few school children, the Swami's institution chanting Vedas, how it is going to be benefit for the Veda Poshana? This is nothing. Mm. It's like a drop in the whole universe and how it is going to affect. But I think this was the second stage Swami was showing that when He started en masse chanting of the Vedas and when He started showing interest in the Vedas, naturally the devotees, they knew that they also wanted to please Swami.
Yes.
So they also started learning Vedas, especially foreigners and all.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
When Swami used to come for darshan, if they know some mantra, they used to chant loudly and Swami used to look and smile at them.
Mm.
So they also got encouraged.
Mm.
I think that is how slowly it started spreading beyond the walls of even beyond the shores of India.
India.
Because no other spiritual leader till today could take Vedas across the borders of Bharat.
Mm.
It is only the supreme will of Bhagavan that today the Vedam all over the world, the nook and corner of the world, when you go, you see people are with so much of enthusiasm learning Vedas. Whether it is the Muslim countries or from South America to North America to all the European continents to Japan and to Australia, any of these places, Singapore, all these places today it is reverberating with Vedas.
Not merely the geographical dimensions, but also you see the gender. Swami goes beyond, not merely pertaining or restricted only to the males or children like that. Swami has made even the ladies, girls, anybody can chant. So it is universally accepted. Anybody can chant and anybody can get benefit out of it.
In fact, I also remember how Bhagavan used to pick up a few higher secondary school students who were foreigners. And then Swami used to ask them to come out of the crowd, stand up, face the audience and chant. I think those were, you know, all those subtle ways Swami was communicating to the entire world how he wants this to be a universal endeavor. And of course, there were also occasions where we had the meaning also. I remember Brother Sudhindran giving the meaning of the mantrams in the Sai Kulanthal, Swami materializing the Narayana necklace once. There are so many moments like that, isn't it, sir, when you recollect all those sessions?
Actually, Bishwavadar, this 2008 when the Sahasra Chandra Darshanam started, where the learning of Vedas extended to all the devotees also, there is a small prelude to that, sir, actually. Recently, we had an opportunity to interview Mrs. Adikeshaval Naidu. Her name is Satyaprabha.
Mm-hmm.
She was telling about how exactly this concept of Sahasra Chandra Darshanam started. They had a wish to do something for Swami and they had taken this initiative of Swami Sahasra Chandra Darshanam. If you celebrate, it will be very nice. For the first few weeks, Swami was very reluctant to have this celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So after 2 weeks, Swami himself called Adikeshaval Naidu Garu and he told, we'll have it not for my sake, for the sake of the devotees. At that point of time, I had asked her that, Madam, this was the opportunity where Swami had taken and he had asked all the devotees to learn Vedam.
Mm.
So that was how Swami prepared the entire ground. One team did not know that this will happen and this team did not know that it will happen like this. So that was the platform that Swami had set for this en masse learning, the entire world to come and learn Vedas.
Wow. In fact, I remember when you were saying that how can a few students contribute towards the overall Vidvat portion or Veda portion of the world. In fact, this is what Swami had referred to.
63 discourse.
In the 63 discourse, when the Veda Pathshala started itself.
Somebody had commented that, what can these few children do to Veda portion? And Swami was giving a simile like, how many members of the cabinet are there who can change the course of the country?
Okay. Swami said, you just need 20 ministers to change the country. So why do you underestimate?
And then at different times he has given different examples, the cabinet ministers. Then for some people he said, for the army people, he said, how many generals are there in the army? How many sipais are there? There are lakhs of soldiers are there. But then how many colonels? Fewer number of colonels. How many brigadiers? Still fewer. And how many generals? Only one general, one supreme general. My boys will be generals, not the soldiers.
Wow.
So, one general is enough to do this. One Vivekananda is enough to change the world. So, we may not be producing the numbers, but quality products.
In fact, one thing that I can immediately relate to as you're mentioning this, because I remember in 2011 or 2012, you had the devotees from Japan who came and did a drama in Sai Kulwanthal. And they narrated how chanting of Vedam has really helped them to withstand the nuclear disasters that happened at that point in time in the country. And I remember at that point in time, there were three students in three different islands of Japan. And they crisscrossed the country that entire, I think, 1 or 2 years doing only this, doing only chanting Vedam. And it is thanks to them that you have so many devotees today chanting Vedam in Japan. And I remember one day when in Saikulanth Hall the Vedam chanting started and the chanting was so clear. I was thinking boys were chanting actually. It was so much like boys chanting, and I was really stunned to see that it was actually Japanese devotees chanting.
And the effort that they had put to learn the Vedas is also tremendous actually. Their language doesn't support the pronunciation of all these tough Sanskrit
all the syllables.
So they had designed a particular procedure for every letter. They had a design of the position of the mouth and the tongue.
Okay.
So they had
diagrammatically
encyclopedia, the diagrammatically depicted Rudram booklet. So through that they had learned the Vedam.
When our students went to Japan, now last 3 years, we have a Sakura fellowship, Sakura Science Exchange Program between the JAIST, Japanese Institute of Technology, and the Research Institute of Higher Learning. 10 research scholars would go to the JAIST and then have interaction with these professors, so spend 2 to 3 weeks and then come back. When our student, Nagasai Vishweshwar, for example, is also a Vedam student, when he went there and then found those people learning the thing, then he asked one of them who really was an expert in linguistics, came, learned Rudram, and then went back with a desire to help the Japanese devotees spend time in designing every syllable, how it should be chanted diagrammatically, because as Brother Ganesh mentioned, the linguistic pronunciation does not allow them to pronounce certain Sanskrit syllables. So how they should twist the tongue so that they can pronounce the thing.
In fact, the boy whom we are mentioning, who came, it took hours for me to sit with him and to make him understand what that is.
Oh.
And he drew picture ultimately when he got, especially the dedication. This boy came and stayed, I think, almost 1.5 years in India, in Parthi.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mr. Hira came and introduced him, and this boy used to daily come in the evening. He says, just for 5 minutes, he used to record. He says, 5 minutes to give a recording. Like that, he recorded the whole chanting of whatever we used to chant, the entire thing. He learned Sanskrit during that period of time.
Oh.
And he made his own Vedam book, all the Sanskrit, this thing, along with that Japanese script.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the pictures of the mouth, how to pronounce all these things. The amount of dedication, and they used to, after 1 week, used to come back and used to chant to check whether the correction was okay. With this much of dedication, they have learned. And when I had the chance of visiting there, at Japan, they organized Ekadasi Rudram chanting.
Mm-hmm.
And that day I found no Indian based, all are Japanese. They started around 9:30 in the morning. Till 12:30 in the afternoon, they chanted Rudram. Beautiful way. The entire group. See, that is the dedication with which they all do.
It's so fantastic when you think, isn't it? I mean, how it all started with 20 Veda Pathshala boys. And today, every Sai Center has become a Veda Pathshala.
In fact, when I went to Venezuela, it is something more than that.
Mm-hmm.
In Venezuela, there is an active youth group. Everybody wants to learn Vedam. And you know, this particular group, they wait for the chanting from Puttaparthi to get over. It will be late midnight, around 11:30 for them. They wait for the Vedam to finish from here, for the Radio Sai to complete every day. After hearing that only, they go to sleep.
Oh my God.
And these people, the number of devotees, those who want to learn Vedam in Venezuela is so many, they put a restriction, quality control.
Huh.
If you want to learn Vedam, you have to take 5 oaths in your life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can't learn Vedam. The first is that you cannot eat non-vegetarian food anymore in your life. Second thing is no smoking or drinking. Third thing is no visiting clubs. And fourth one is every day you have to chant Gayatri certain number of times. And fifth thing is if you are unmarried, you have to strictly observe Brahmacharya. Nobody has told them. They have taken oath and they are practicing Vedas. You know that they have taken so much interest that they have gone to Banaras and got Upanayanam done for them. And every day they are doing Trikala Sandhya Vandanam. In India, I don't know how many of us do.
Oh my God.
It is an eye-opener, especially, you know, when we go outside and see what is happening, it is something
remarkable.
As Bhagwan said, my Seema is Veda Seema.
Yes, very much.
The extent of my grace is the extent of the propagation of Vedas. And that's yes. What you see there. I think, and in spite of all these regulations, if people want to do it, it is because what it is doing to them.
Absolutely.
And one theme that recurs again and again when you listen to any of Bhagwan's discourses on Vedam, is Swami says that this is the only thing that can save the world. This is the only thing that can save India, and if India is saved, only then world can be saved. And Bhagwan, in fact, in one discourse while reflecting on the condition of the modern times, he says that today, Bharatiyas are having a lot of problems. Why? Because, you know, you have shortages in terms of food. Swami says, why there is shortage in terms of food? Because you are not doing the yajnas and yagas. And why you are not doing yajnas and yagas? Because you are engaging in nishiddha karma, Swami says. Actions which are prohibited. And why are you doing nishiddha karmas? Because there is glani of Veda. There is decline in Vedic practice. Why there is decline in Vedic practice? Because you have forgotten to remember Paramatma. And then Swami says, only through the Vedam, now you can connect with the Paramatma. Then slowly the whole cycle will complete. And then there will be prosperity. Swami says that just like eyes are very important for the body, you need Vedic sciences, which is important for the survival of Bharat. And Bharat is important absolutely for the survival and peace and prosperity of country. I mean, so many discourses, that is a recurrent theme. If you read any of Bhagwan's discourses on Vedam, it is ultimately so that the world, it is not to give us chance. I mean, we are just very, very tiny, tiny, tiny speck in this whole scheme of things, where it is just so that the world is sustained. Because only then dharma can be sustained.
When you see in 1950s when Swami first time visited Venkatagiri,
yes.
And the first time Vedic scholars had come to Prashantiniram in 1962, he had all the Vedic pundits at his disposal. Even then Swami had chosen the entire humanity to foster these Vedas. That's the expansion of Swami's love. He wanted everyone to learn these Vedic mantras. That is the beauty of his mission.
It's not the select or any other.
It's not limited
all those,
to.
He broke all those barriers, taboos, sir. And you know all this. In fact, that is one fantastic thing I think about the avatar. When an avatar comes, you know, you have so many things that are passed on to us generation after generation. But what happens is sometimes many of things get diluted, many things get distorted. But when an avatar comes, then all these corrections are made. Corrections, you know, suddenly, you know, you had some group and somebody said, no, this person cannot chant or this group cannot chant. And then who can challenge that? Nobody can challenge that unless the Veda Purusha himself. So when an avatar comes, I feel this very, very important course corrections happen. And that's what we have seen in every sphere.
Yeah, that beautiful padyam which Swami tells, Yuga Dharma Paddhatul Vigalitamayunda Nayamargamuna Trippi Nadupu Koraku. When the Vedic dharmas are going astray, I have come down to bring them onto the right
course.
Path.
Change the course.
Oh, I think one verse I remember at this juncture. Daivadinam jagat sarvam. Mantradinam tu daivatam. Te mantraha brahmanadinam. Brahmano mama devata. Which means the whole world is controlled or regulated by God himself. But God is, God can be pleased.
Captured.
Okay, captured by the mantras. Okay, these mantras are the property of Brahmins. So one can become Brahmin. Who is a Brahmin? The one who knows these Vedic mantras, he is a Brahmin. So it is not that Brahmin comes out of the birth or whatever it is, but whoever thinks of Brahma, whoever experiences that Brahma Vidya, he is the Brahmin.
Wow. Well, I think we can go on talking about the effect of Vedam, and I think there are any number of instances that we'll need. I think we can go on talking for another 2-3 hours, just the number of instances we know of how so many people have benefited just by chanting, from individual experiences to group experiences to things now people are experiencing at the cosmic level. But before we conclude, maybe Vedant sir, you can just share some things about, you know, this huge conference that is coming up in Prashantinilam, and you've been there very much in the thick of things, organizing it and being part of it. So if you can share some snippets of what people are going to see and how they can prepare themselves for this event that Puttaparthi has never before seen.
In fact, this is going to be a landmark in the movement of Sai movement, because as Bhagavan has been from the beginning, he has said the main pillars of his missions are Veda Poshana and Vidvat Poshana, and this has taken a new form now. People from all over the world, they are practicing the Vedic mantras, and Swami inspired our All India President and others, that why not give a thrust for the Vedam movement? Because it is high time that we bring out the importance of the Vedas. And so with that, the idea was mooted that we will have the en masse chanting of the Vedas from the devotees from all over the world. Individually, so many, there are so many groups, so many nucleus groups all over the world here and there. Why not bring them all into one stage where we'll have a mass offering of the chanting at the Bhagavan's lotus feet. And this will be a grand offering, because that is what Swami's dream or Swami's real life's mission. And with that, we worked, and by Swami's grace, that these 2 days are going to be devoted for the Veda Poshana. As part of it, the first day will be a multi-religious conference, and where in which the various religious from various religion, they'll be speaking about their religion and also offer prayers for the peace and prosperity of the world.
All the religions, sir?
All the religions. And the first day, the program has been named as Vasudeva Kudumbakam. And on this day, on the first day itself, we had the en masse chanting of the Vedas by all the devotees from all over the world. In fact, many of the devotees are coming from abroad also. So we will have in one voice to offer that grand offering to Bhagavan during this 92nd birthday of Bhagavan. And the second day will be more interesting, because this is in connection with Vedas and the science. Because today, when we talk about the Vedas, people still have a lot of misgivings. And what is so great about the Vedas? Many people have still apprehension. And so we thought that people today will appreciate anything if they are given in their own coin. So people appreciate science today. So we thought that explaining Vedas through science may benefit many of the people. So with that idea in view, we contacted many of the people, those who have really done research on the Vedas. And by Swami's grace, many of the scholars have agreed to come.
Wow.
And that is going to be really, really interesting. Their experiment with Vedas, with the mantras, and the effect of that, and their findings. So all those things will be given to us on the second day. So a lot of preparations are on that. And we continuously pray to Swami to guide us and take us through this great challenge. I'm sure that Swami will bless us for that.
Wow, it really sounds so exciting. And there are two thoughts that come to my mind. When the first time when the Veda Purusha Sapta Gyan Yajna was held in Prashant Nilayam, we were mentioning how the devotees wanted it in East Godavari.
East Godavari, yes.
And Swami said, no, why? Why there? You do it in Prashant Nilayam so that all
entire
can participate.
World.
The entire world can participate. Even this conference, if you know the genesis of it, initially it was suggested to have it somewhere else.
Correct.
And then, you know, the way everything has moved, someone who's an authority in Prashanti suggested that, why somewhere else? Let's do it in Prashanti. And, you know, so again, from one Konasima, it has come back to Vedasima.
Vedasima.
It has come back to Prashanti.
It is actually, the thing is, no, we were planning to have it in a very low scale because birthday is a time we know that it is, no, for a number of devotees will come and to get accommodation, it's going to be very, very difficult. So after the birthday, we were planning around later in 20, but here the trust members were so kind, they came out and say, why some other time? This is the right time. We'll have it during, as part of the birthday yes. celebration.
Yes.
So we are really grateful to the Central Trust members also for giving us this opportunity.
Yeah, ultimately, you just see the divine hand of Bhagwan
absolutely.
So beautifully working. And, you know, you don't feel, even though Swami is physically not there, every day, I think when you reflect on what is happening, you know that he is guiding it. You know, he's guiding it so beautifully, actually. It's just that the physical form is not there. But otherwise, if anything is happening, it's because he's pulling the wires. One of the discourses where Bhagwan has spoken about Vedam, Swami says in the end, all said and done, the Vedic Dharma and customs and traditions, and also the values of truth, non-violence, peace, compassion, inner and outer purity, austerity and regulated life followed in Bharat, they are the foundations for all the religions of the world.
Wow.
So whether you like it or not, all said and done, this is the only thing that is
true.
Needed. This is the foundation on which will be built the golden age of peace, prosperity, and happiness for the entire world. And we can only be grateful to Bhagwan for having initiated into this so many years before when we had absolutely no clue. And I think every moment we can only have that attitude of gratitude and pray that we become better instruments in his hands and become better receptors of his grace that he continues to shower on all of us. Thank you so much, all the elders, Shivshankar Sai Sir, Ved Narayan Sir, Praveena Sir, and Brother Ganesh for being part of this wonderful discussion.
Sairam.
Sairam.
So that was the panel discussion with four former students of Bhagwan's University who are part of the Prashanti Vedam group. You heard Mr. Ved Narayan giving a brief idea of the International Veda Conference. So this was the discussion pre-Veda conference. Next week we are going to have a live discussion with people who are involved in the making of the conference. So we will listen from people who worked behind the scenes for months doing the books, the videos, the tutorials, the exhibition, getting leaders of different faiths, bringing scholars from different disciplines. So there will be plenty of stories of how Bhagwan made this beautiful event happen. So that's coming up next week on Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Stay tuned. It's time now to pass on the mics to my brothers Prem and Arvind for afternoon session. Thank you so much. Sadam.